Jersey.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T crew.
Whoa.
S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with S-R-T. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Made with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for S-R-T Radio.
Yeah. What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the S-R-T Studios, overlooking Atlantic Station. And we are in the penthouse, ready to talk sports. Once again, Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew coming to you each and every Wednesday, 7 or 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to be a part of the show, please give us a shout, 404-603-8770. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. Shout out to all my folks who are listening to us live, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, the 1100, Real 1100 app, and srtradio.com, and also the folks who listen on our Sports Roundtable page on Facebook. We really appreciate it. We got a good show for you tonight. And of course, got them Memphis boys in here, along with Augusta's own, as you already know. We'll have a trivia question about that pretty soon.
Yeah.
I think that'll be awesome. My main man, the sports superhero, fighting through traffic as always.
What's up, big homie?
What's happening, homeboy?
I'm in here. What's up, crew?
What's up, homie? Yo. A lot of stuff been going on with them Lakers, and I can't wait to get you.
Boy, and I can't wait to talk about
it. You can't wait to talk about
it. I can't wait.
I'm trying to wait on the, I know the Laker Nation may have a hard time accepting LeBron. I'm just trying to wait you out to see when you go give in. That's going to be the telltale. And of course, I got my main man looking like Javon Carter. My Memphis guy, Jay Smooth, in the building.
What's up, man? I would love to have his bank account.
You love that? Did you see his tweet after he signed his contract?
Yes. Yeah, he's put out several tweets that people are already asking for jerseys.
Asking for jerseys?
Yeah, surprisingly. So.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about him later on in the show.
Yeah.
Summer League talk, things of that nature. And, of course, the man behind the glass, Augusta Zone, the buy and sell the buy and sell host, my guy, G Money.
Yo.
And is this 2 weeks up yet? Is it 2 weeks?
For
where he changed his hairstyle?
I'm not sure what we.
Okay.
What
it's
we
not been on. 2 weeks yet? Or
on
you
Saturday
running?
It will be.
Okay, on Saturday. Okay, yeah. I guess. Saturday would be 2 weeks, I guess. All right, man, we got a lot in store for you. Hot news coming up. Got some Le'Veon Bell talk, of course. We got some Kawhi Leonard talk. Terrell Owens and the Hall of Fame, they are clapping at each other. And we'll talk a little Julio. And Summer League basketball, of course, in our roundtable discussion. And we also talk about what in the world has happened to the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, we got some buy and sell around 7:30, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We got a little SEC news about coaching and what team you think will, you know, prevail. Do Georgia have some pressure on them? Got some great first week of the season. I can't wait to get Hancock's take on Florida State and Virginia Tech first week of the season. And, of course, G-Money's a Florida State fan, too. So that's going to be interesting to see how that's going to roll out and things of that nature. So, with all that being said, make sure you follow us on Twitter and social media at SRT Radio. Make sure you go to the website, srtradio.com, and we're about to get into some hot, hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
He's on fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News. Sponsored by our good old friends at the Big Easy Grill. 1193 Collier Road is the address. Go over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, and you can get the best shrimp in town. And when I tell you that, it is verified. It is verified. Of course, you can try the shrimp pole bar as well. Let's go ahead and get into it. Let's not even waste no time. The news was popping this morning. Kawhi Leonard traded to Toronto Raptors. Him and Danny Green leave San Antonio for disgruntled DeMar Rosen now. And the big guy in the middle.
Jakob Poeltl.
And
or Jakob Poeltl, if you don't care about pronunciation.
Exactly.
How about Mud Poeltl? Because he really ain't got no game.
And a second, first round pick.
Top 20 protected pick
after the first year. And if things don't go well, they get to second round pick. So, all right, Han, we're going to start it off with you. And tell me or tell the listeners, who's the winner in this trade?
You know, it might be a dead heat because when you look at Kawhi going to Toronto, they're basically sticking their neck out the same way Oklahoma City did with Paul George, kind of betting on the come, hoping that they may be able to, you know, kind of induce him or whatever you want to say to stay there, to try to keep him there. So I don't know if that's going to work. I think Saad Najeri, however you pronounce his name, I think it's a kind of calculated gamble because I think that's the ulterior motive to try to win right now. The East is I won't say up for grabs, but with LeBron moving out of it, at least there's a level playing field.
Right.
And you're talking about a team that, you know, was the number one seed last year in the playoffs in the East, being Toronto, and you get an upgrade in Kawhi, supposedly.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. He played 9 games last year.
Right.
And then there are chemistry things that you have to get. You know, with Kawhi not being a big personality, though, and more of a, you know, I don't know if he's going to be one of those guys that need to take the lead of it, you know, of any situation anyway. So I don't think it may not be a character issue in that way that where it caused a conflict with the team. So that might work. But I think, like I said, he's giving himself a chance by getting a superstar in there. Because DeRozan, I still don't know about that superstar thing with Kawhi. I think everybody else puts him in. I'd say he's a star, but I want to see him in a different system, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to DeRozan. DeRozan, we know, is not a superstar. He's a star, you know. So that's the thing. You've upgraded supposedly with this guy, and that way I don't know if it's really enhanced them enough to win. And when you look at San Antonio, I think they could have gotten more with the Lakers if they would have made the deal with them. But I don't think they wanted to deal with Kawhi being in the Western Conference. So that's why I mean it's a dead heat, because I don't know how much San Antonio enhanced themselves by getting DeMar DeRozan. They're a system-oriented team anyway. I think he's going to fit in. I don't think that'll be a problem. I think Pop will, you know, acclimate him to the system, and they should be fine. So, I don't know. In the long run, I would still probably lean toward San Antonio because they know their future. And with Toronto, it's kind of up in the air because if Kawhi walks, what have you accomplished?
A rebuild.
Yeah.
Right. So, you won't have to pay DeRozan that $83 million contract for the next 3 years. So that's a positive. You can rebuild, get rid of Lowry, and then you're building with a young squad. Yeah. So in that respect, they have a chance too. But I'd lean more towards San Antonio because at least you have some kind of semblance of what your future looks like.
Yeah.
All right, Samoa, what you got?
Yeah, I would completely agree. I think for the immediate and the foreseeable future, I think the San Antonio Spurs were the winners in the move. If you're Greg Popovich and the Spurs, you lock up DeMar DeRozan for another 3 years, which, along with LaMarcus Aldridge, you have two pretty good players in the Western Conference, which is still stacked. That doesn't make them a championship contender by any means, but at least it ensures that they'll continue to be competitive, at least for the next 3 years. If you're the Toronto Raptors, you're taking a huge gamble, huge risk. As Hancock stated, Masai Ujiri, he's completely confident in his ability. Hopefully, you know, he can change some minds, and maybe Kawhi can sort of be ingratiated in Toronto's culture, and maybe he can find something that he likes, but it seems highly unlikely. I think he's still on his way to LA, Clippers or Lakers, whichever one. But I do like it for Toronto, and the fact that it pushes up their timeline. I think we were all in agreement that they needed to rebuild this thing.
Right.
And like you just said, HO, we don't expect Kawhi Leonard to stay next year. So, you know, if he go ahead and leave, well, if he leaves, that opens up cap space. And with them moving DeRozan, that did open up, you know, $83 million over the next three years.
Exactly.
Which is a great thing. So I love Masai Ujiri, Toronto's president of basketball operations. I loved how aggressive he was. He needed to make a change. He did what he had to do. We'll see if the risk pays off. We don't know if the move is brilliant or not until, next year, if he decides to say so. So we'll see what happens.
Some reports come out and saying that maybe Kawhi may sit out for the season. Really don't want to be in Toronto. Don't even want to suit up.
I don't think he can afford to sit out.
No, he can't.
Yeah, and the thing about it is now has his uncle gotten to the point where he's almost as bad as a LeVar Ball?
Ooh.
Yeah, he's a silent LeVar Ball.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah,
I feel you.
I mean, the effect of what has happened is you was a part of arguably one of the best franchises in the league, and to get moved to Canada. And basically, to your point, Han, San Antonio can see their future, at least with DeRozan. Now, one thing that we didn't talk about or has not been mentioned is how does DeRozan game enhance with Pops?
Yeah,
that's what I was saying. I think he'll fit in. I think he'll be fine.
So he can find his role, and with a very, very rapidly developed Jonte Murray, running the mm-hmm. point, I think defensively they have set themselves apart. They do lose Kyle Anderson to Memphis.
Yeah.
So they would still need that 3-and-D guy.
Right.
But from the looks of summer league,
Lonnie Walker.
Yeah, Lonnie Walker has seemed to kind of come.
But and that's the key with San Antonio, as we always say. They're not going to ask you to do anything outside of what you do well.
What you do well.
That's why Danny Green was successful. But his limitations didn't show because Pop made sure he did do was accentuated. And he'll do the same thing with DeRozan.
Right.
That mid-range game will be on display now. Mm-hmm. For some kind of way he would do it.
Yeah.
And he'll make sure that he's used to his utmost.
Yep.
As far as Toronto, but you know, the only thing with Toronto, if Nasai, he's trying to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt
about
it.
And he needed to shake up that team.
Yeah.
So I mean, like we said, it's an open season in the East.
And one thing about it in Toronto, you really don't know your future after this year as far as this. So you're putting all your marbles into this year. You saw what OKC did to help Paul George and things of that nature.
Right.
But they had a lead guy. I don't know if Toronto have that guy that will want someone to stay, especially with Leonard wanting to be in L.A., I just don't know how that's gonna fit or work out in this case. And, you know, we don't know how he's going to fit without Pops.
Well, let me ask, G, how long do they have to hold Kawhi? Can they trade him before the trade 60 deadline?
60 days, I think.
I know with the contract structure, they may not be able to trade him until December.
Right. Let's see, then that's another possibility. I mean, if you got a piece like that and you move him,
then yeah.
Then you
it
know,
could be right because we don't know
what you to build your franchise. Yeah. You
why know? Everybody thinking checkers?
Yeah,
they might be playing chess. Yeah.
So that's so. The thing. So you move him to a franchise that you know is going to have.
They may have wanted Josh Hart.
Who knows? I mean, yeah. never
Brandon
you never
Ingram.
Know. They might make that move with LA by the trade deadline.
I agree.
But if Kawhi is still a malcontent, like if he's still unhappy wherever he is.
But
like,
LA know they won't. He wants to be there. That's right. The difference.
Right. But what about the Clippers? They don't have the assets to trade for him. And I guess if you're Magic and Rob Pelinka, like, why pull the trigger? You didn't pull it with San Antonio. I'm sure Toronto didn't have anything that the Lakers want. Yeah. I mean,
It's like L.A. It's still in L.A., but it's like going to McDonald's and get a chicken set versus going to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
It's the difference. Right. Right. So I'm going to Lakers.
All right, G, what you got on this?
I think, was I telling you earlier, Kawhi's uncle is Uncle Bubba from He Got Game. He's going to mess this whole thing up.
Yeah.
You're doing too much. And he might not get compared to LeVar Ball. He might get compared to Reggie Rose, which is Derrick Rose's older brother.
Right.
Who had been handling all of his negotiations or whatever with the Bulls. I think this is a big gamble, a big risk by Masai Ujiri. And it can, if he's like, okay, if Kawhi stays, good, we build around him. If he leaves, then we blow the whole thing up. They're going to trade Lowry after this season, I think. And with San Antonio, DeMar DeRozan can fit in, and they have another big that, you know, maybe Popovich will get something out of him. Toronto will be very good defensively, I think, with getting Leonard and Danny Green.
Right.
And they get some shooting as well to where I'm not sure how good of a three-point shooting team they are, but the guy they just traded really refused to shoot them until the latter part of this past season.
Right.
But the East is wide open, and I don't think Kawhi makes that big of a shift as far as like Toronto is going to be the number one seed again or anything, but it does keep them in the conversation. And I think that's what they wanted to do for now. And if he leaves, then they can just start all over. So it looks like a risk. And I mean, we kind of said the same thing about Paul George last summer, and he ended up staying. So maybe the Raptors front office can convince him to stay. And they've been chasing getting a star since Vince Carter left.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They didn't really have it with DeRozan, but maybe Kawhi Leonard can be that guy.
All right, story number two, Han, Le'Veon Bell, possibly his last year in Pittsburgh. They missed the deadline for a long-term deal. He will be paid $14.5 million, I guess, this year as a franchise tag. And he said he would not be in camp. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he turned down a five-year deal for $70 million.
Yep.
And which was going to be about $14 million a year. But when you looked at that, like you say, he's being franchised for basically $14 million. So, in essence, they were going to be paying him about $55 million over 4 years, you know, at an average of $13.8 a year. And that really, to him, didn't appeal to him. So, he was like, you know, he's willing to bet on himself. And, you know, even looking at the contract they offered him, it was only like $33 million. Now, that was guaranteed. I think the total would have been something like $45 million over the first 3 to 4 years, something like that.
Right.
So it really didn't add up to what he was looking for. And you look at the running back position, he wants an average of like $17 million a year is what he's asking for.
Yes, for that running back. He's
asking for wide receiver type money. And the thing on it is paying him, if you paid him $17 million, that's actually $6 million more than the average salaries of the average running back. If you average all the top running backs together, they average out to like eight something. Well, a little lower because I think Devontae Freeman makes 8.25.
Right.
So you're looking at he's wanting to be paid 17, which is double what Devontae is making. So they don't want to pay that in the running back position. I just think it's a bad situation to put him in that boat because of what he does out of the backfield. Not just running the ball, but catching the ball.
Right.
So in that respect, I don't think you can, you know, whether the NFL has that monopoly and they have their way of doing it by saying, okay, you're a running back. I don't care what else you do, you're still a running back. And we saw that with the tight end from New Orleans, Jimmy Graham, when he was putting up wide receiver numbers. And he wanted to be paid. Yeah, he wanted to be paid like a wide receiver. They were like, no, you're a tight end, so you're going to fit in what this is. And they're doing the same thing with Le'Veon Bell. And I think this will probably be the last year. They're going to franchise him. I don't think they'll come to an agreement anytime or whatever, you know, after season starts. So this will probably be his last year there. And, hey, when he becomes that free agent, like I said, he's betting on himself to try to get that money. Now, whether he gets it or not, I don't know, because the NFL, like I said, they slot these running backs, and he'll probably end up getting that about what he's averaging now, that 13 to 14 million. Right. He's wanting to get paid what AB's doing, because his production, if you look at it, he's like, well, look, you paying AB, and his production from scrimmage, look at mine. We're basically the same, or I'm better.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a bad situation
for
running
backs. Look at the fantasy numbers. Story. next story, Jay Smoove, the Summer League, NBA Summer League, has come to an end. Portland wins the championship, and just wanted to see, what did you like and didn't like about Summer League this year?
Oh, this was a lot to like. This was probably my favorite Summer League in probably recent memory. This is the first time ever all 30 teams participated. So if you're, you know, an NBA fan, there was something at stake for everyone this year. So that was great. You didn't mention him, but outside of being ejected in a championship game last night, Josh Hart, Summer League MVP, he played amazingly. I'm sure Hancock is excited about that.
Yeah, I liked him when he came out of the draft, and I thought he was going to be a player that was going to, you know, eventually be not a starter, but a big contributor somewhere.
Yeah, and you also had six out of those top 10 picks. They made the all-summer league team, either one of the two teams, DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson Jr., Trey Young, Wendell Carter Jr., Sexton, and Kevin Knox. They all played well. I'm surprised. No, Luka Doncic. I wanted to see him.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what he could do against, you know, elite competition on this side of the pond. But I'm excited, especially, well, we'll get into it later. But for the most part, this was, you know, probably my favorite summer league in recent memory. And I think the NBA did a great job, and there's a wealth of talent in the NBA, so I'm excited.
Yeah, a couple of sleepers. That kid, New York picked the center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mitchell Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of teams wanted him, and they ended up getting him. I think the Lakers were trying to bank and try to slide in there, and the Knicks ended up getting him. So, like you said, there's a couple of players that kind of flew under the radar.
It is. So, in our roundtable discussion, we'll talk our top five players from Summer League and some sleepers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Honorable mention and things of that nature. So we'll get into that a little later on. The last story on the docket here on the Hot News, the Hall of Fame claps back at T.O. G Money, and wanted to kind of get your thoughts. And if anybody that know the Hall of Fame say they would not mention T.O. at all, they would just mail him his jacket and go from there.
This is what I like to call petty.
Right.
I agree. You know, you can use all the nicknames for petty. Petty White, Petty Murphy, Tom Petty, Richard Petty, Petty King Jr., all of that. Because the Hall of Fame, they don't even want to mention his name during the ceremony. You know, I mean, this isn't like when... like at certain award ceremonies, like the Oscars or something, somebody may not be there because they're filming a movie right now.
Right.
So they can't be there and someone's there to accept on their behalf or something. This isn't even that kind of situation. But I think because T.O. took matters into his own hands a little bit, it's like, you know what? I'm not going to go to the ceremony. I think because he felt slighted because it was his third year of eligibility. It's not like his numbers were going to change. And the media kind of took it out on him as far as keeping him out of the Hall of Fame for a couple of years. So why show up?
Right.
Like the bust is still going to be in the museum. And if he's getting his jacket in the mail, why not have my own party where I feel comfortable and, you know, in a place where everybody loves me and I don't have to deal with the nonsense that I think he believes the whole ceremony is nonsense anyway. It's part of like boycotting it. So why not just do my own thing and my name is still in there. They still can't take it away from me.
Right. All right. So basically what G just said, the saga continues with T.O. and the NFL writers and the NFL Hall of Fame, because this is something that has been going on with T.O. and the NFL, I guess, writers and media people and things of that nature, basically since he's gotten in the league. So
I love it.
You know, this is just, you know, it's somebody got to be grown about this situation as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, two wrongs don't make it right. And somebody just got to be able to just say, look, you know, it is what it is. Let's put all of this to the side, which, in my opinion, when it comes to things like that, let's just come to an agreement. It's like being mad at your brother forever or being mad at your mom or dad forever. At some point, you're going to have to grow up and say, look, it is what it is. Let's squash it and let's end the beef or whatever the case may be. And let's move on and be adults about the situation. So,
there's one thing that he has done for the other inductees. He got them. He got all the other inductees personalized shoes.
Hmm. Okay, well, that's good.
So they all get a gift. So it's not. I think that's showing. Hey, I have nothing against you guys.
Right.
Yeah. At least I love it.
That's how it wants
to. I guess he still got his PR person on payroll. That was a pretty good gesture. Han, you wanted to say something?
I just said I love it. Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, yeah, I understand what you're saying, two wrongs don't make a right, but I don't think it's like his numbers won't change. And if you're doing it out of spite to him, you know, and they've done it to other people, and that's fine. But like he said, he feels like he's doing it for all the people that they've done it to. And it's nothing in the bylaws to say he had to be there. Yep. And I just, like he said, he told Eric Dickerson, yeah, if they would have voted me in on the first, if they got me in the first time, yeah, I'd have been there. But he says he doesn't feel like it's right. So I have no problem with it, because I think the NFL, these writers and all of them, they always have a way of spinning the narrative for themselves.
Right.
And if you know, the first thing out of their mouth is, and, you know, I know that was your view on it, but they'll say, well, he should be a bigger man than that. But he shouldn't have to be a bigger man than that. He shouldn't have had to wait. This. When you look at who is in these Hall of Fames, there's some bad actors and bad character guys in there. And this guy did nothing off the field to say he shouldn't have been in.
There's a questionable one in the class this year.
Yeah. But so, well, even to that.
That's my point.
Even
that's
to
what
that,
I don't.
Even to that point, even the NFL should be bigger than what they are. So I'm not just
I know you weren't saying it all
NFL,
on T.O.
because the NFL could have just apologized to the writers. Or they seem to do what they want to do anyway.
Right.
But whatever then, the votes were, they could have vetoed that and said, "No, this is he should have been in the first ballot and or whatever the case may be, or issue an apology or make some kind of constitution to where you change the writer, do something." To where it is, it's much bigger than you,
yeah.
And that's all I'm saying. So it's like G said, it's too Tom Petty for all of this, and that's going to end for the hot news.
Yeah, I would have been a surrogate Petty too. I'd have been right with you.
There it is. All right, man. When we get back, G Money got some buy and sell, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And on the docket, after that, we got some other news and things of that nature. So make sure you keep it locked and stay tuned. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on 1100 and the SRTRadio.com.
He
keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap. Sports Roundtable.
A passenger will get a notification that your ride is here. I don't see him. I start to drive away. He calls. He's like, where are you? I also hate that call. I hate the where are you call, because if you look at the map,
you know exactly.
You see where I am.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM. As sports fans, we all have a choice. We either buy or sell.
Okay, sell it all.
All right, welcome back to Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM. And it's time for our buy or sell segment, brought to you by Real Talk Tees. Visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. All right, so the first item on the docket here has a sound clip with it, and we're going to play it, and here we go.
The agency was promoting that vocabulary in that genre. I feel horrible about this and sick, because the reason you do a practice or a media training session is so you don't do something like this.
All right. So that is the voice of now former chairman of Papa John's, John Schnatter, who apparently used the N-word on a conference call with a marketing firm, and he was asked to resign, in which he did. But now he regrets doing that, and he wants back in.
Mm.
He's been in the news a lot lately for a couple of different things, along with using the N-word on the conference call, as far as also resigning. His name has been taken off of Louisville's football stadium.
Yeah, which we predicted last week.
And but there is a caveat with that, to where the school has the stadium naming rights deal with him, not with Papa John's.
Right.
So the stadium could actually be called John Schnatter Stadium.
Oh, shit.
For, I think, at least the next 20 years, this naming rights deal. So he's trying to find his way back in. So I'll start with you, Jay. In light of recent events, do you buy or sell his excuse to where he was pressured into saying it and he didn't mean it? He was repeating what someone else said. Do you buy or sell that excuse?
I'm selling everything about Papa John, John Schnatter, and his behavior. He's shown in the past that he's clearly a racist. And, you know, not to be coy about the subject, you know, he's shown us his hand. And the truth just came out openly. And honestly, these days it's hard not to be surprised at things. You shouldn't be surprised at anything you hear these days. But as it stands right now, he still owns 30% stock in the company. And, you know, if they remove him as founder and from the board, or if they remove him from every piece of box or marketing material, whatever, he still get paid. He still gets paid regardless. So I'm selling Papa John, and, you know, his excuse that, you know, it was a mistake or whatever he said. No excuse that he can come up with at this point can justify what he did. He was completely wrong. I'll say it again. I think the man is racist. You know, he shouldn't be allowed to profit from the company that he started. So this is how I feel about it.
All right. Hancock?
Yeah, I'm selling. And I will just what Smooth said, and his piece is not that good.
What about the sauce?
Nah, it's dry.
It's dry.
Yeah, it's dry, man. It's yeah. Okay. But anyway, it is what it is. Yeah, he made a mistake by letting it air. That's what happened. You know, it is what it is. But people, you know, behind closed doors, they tend to relax or whatever. And this came out in whatever, you know, venue it did, and it became public, and he's paying for it. And I don't think anything that has Papa John's on it should be supported by African Americans, to be honest with you. That's just the way I feel.
I'm selling this. Mm-hmm. I think it is very, very disrespectful to make a mistake and try to control the consequences that come behind it. Whatever you do, I mean, you taught as a kid, you know, you think before you say something. We've seen these things happen before. And sometimes you have to just go along with what it is. You can't take it back. That's why you need to think about what you say. Regardless of how he was pressured into it or whatever the case may be, there is something that you do know of as far as right and wrong when it comes to being on a conference call and you can't even see them, you know. So we've seen this story before, and we also seen this story where everybody is so forgiving about this, but at some point you gonna have to be made an example of. And I think if his name was Kevin White and he was from Orange Mound, Tennessee, and he was a black guy, it wouldn't even be a question about it that he would be out and he should pay the consequences. So whatever consequences comes from this, it is what it is at this particular point. You're old enough, obviously, to know what you should and shouldn't say in the public's eye.
But, you know, I'm going to be real quick, G. It's hard. Not, you know, after I said what I just said about supporting anything with Papa J, African-Americans supporting. But if we go and we take that tact and we do any kind of research, we probably wouldn't buy a lot of things, you know. And it's hard to when you do think about that. What do we live without? What do we go without? You know, even that shield you're wearing on your head. Do we really do what T.I. is saying? Boycott the NFL. Do these things? All these things, really, the only way to make a difference in them is to hit them in the pocket. And I don't know if we're all a group we're going to stand together and do those type of things. You know, can I live without watching football for this year? Could I actually stop if I made that commitment?
Not if you got some fruit cups on it.
Yeah, if I liked Papa John's pizza, if I truly liked it,
right,
would I not eat it?
Right.
You understand? I mean, those are things that we have to look at. So there was a strong statement, me saying we should support it, but it's, you know, that's me talking. I can't live for anybody else. So, you know, I'll take that back. I just say I won't be supporting Papa John. I know I can live without Papa John.
Right.
That's just me.
Yeah, me too, because I don't even eat it. All right, G.
All right, so the second story we have up here is from the college sports world. So current Arizona Cardinals quarterback Josh Rosen, who was the 10th pick in the draft, and he attended UCLA, and he's been pretty outspoken against the NCAA and critical of them, of course. So he has gotten together with Ty Gonser, and he's a partner in a Southern California business law firm, and Brian Bitzer, who is currently a law student at USC. And together they put a system together in which college athletes would be paid.
Mm.
Now, in this system, there would be the creation of a clearinghouse in which they would be kind of the middleman, in which money does come together, but the athletes only receive the money upon graduation. The money can be taken away if they are ruled ineligible by the NCAA, but they actually don't get any money unless they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only like halfway what people who think college athletes should get paid. It's only half of actually what they want.
Right.
So I'll start with you, H.O. Is this a step in the right direction? Do you buy or sell any part of this plan?
I'm going to buy this because I just think that any movement with the NCAA is progress. And, you know, I was always told that don't look for perfection, just look for progress. And this is, to me, progress. Anytime you can move a needle with a organization as the NCAA, as far as trying to get something that you want, I think it's a step in the right direction. Even if it's half the money, even if you put some stipulations around as far as graduation, if some guys leave after their third year, come back and graduate, or graduate after maybe finishing their career, do they still get their money? That will be my question. But I will buy this because the effort from someone who's been through college and was able to recognize and see some of the things that we've always talked about is a step in the right direction. So I'm buying this. I'm all in.
Hancock?
Yeah, I'm buying. If it's able to be ironed out and you able to iron out any kind of loopholes or any kind of snags in the situation, but you know, I think, like we say about all the time, the NCAA is getting free labor. So if there's any way to iron those things out and you know, compensate the people that need to be compensated, I'm with it.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm buying.
All right. Now, I just wanted to add that one of the stipulations is that the athlete is not allowed to contact any of the companies that may fuel this fund. That anybody that works with the clearinghouse. So that would include shoe companies, any apparel companies, video game companies, cannot contact these athletes.
Okay.
So Jay, what do you think?
I'm selling it. Forget Josh Rosen and his plan. Cause and reason being is I don't agree that you receiving money for playing football should be contingent upon you graduating. I just don't agree with that. So you expect me to wait 4 years, 3.5 or 4 years to be paid what I deserve and what I deserve immediately. Now, I do like the fact that, you know, in a way it sets them up for maybe long-term success. You can walk out of school, you get a degree, and maybe you get some money behind it. But we know for sure that most of these players, there's no guarantee that they're going to graduate in those 4 years. A lot of these guys will probably go on to the NFL, Canadian Football League, whatever the case may be. And I just don't agree that you graduating, you getting your money is contingent upon you graduating. In my opinion, Josh Rosen, he's not an advocate for players at all with this plan. Because to me, if you play one game, you should be handsomely, I won't say handsomely compensated, but you should be compensated for that game that you play in. And if it's the last game of your life, you should be played. You should be paid for that one game. So I'm selling Josh Rosen and his plan. I don't agree with it. I think he and his team, they need to go back to the table and come up with something realistic that realistically works for players.
That's good points.
All right.
So the next story here comes from the NBA world. I just saw the headline and I knew exactly what was going on here. So the Houston Rockets, well, excuse me, the Philadelphia 76ers, of course, they don't have a GM right now. They fired Brian Colangelo because he told his wife stuff and she tweeted about it behind burner accounts. But they did try to, they did contact Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey about the vacant position. And he was the mentor to former Sixers GM Sam Hinkie. So I'm going to start with you, HO. Do you buy or sell that the Sixers messed up by firing Hinkie?
No. Well, I'll take that back. Yes, they did mess up by firing Hinkie. I think that there are some things that winning just can't buy, as far as when you are a good person that is honest and you run the organization in a way that is character driven, loyalty to some of your players. And I'm pretty sure we'll get into that with Toronto and things of that nature. But and that only goes so far. But Sam Hinkie did, in my opinion, did an excellent job in at least getting the Sixers to a respectable point. And then they finally got rid of him and brought in Colangelo, who was, to me, much of a name because of his father. So, yeah, I think they messed up when they fired Hinkie. They should have probably just kept him and just rolled it out with him and things of that nature. So yeah, I'm saying that yeah, they messed up when they fired Hinkie.
Jay,
at this point, I'll probably sell it. And looking back, I don't know exactly why Sam Hinkie was fired. And I honestly, he didn't get all of his picks right. There were some picks that he missed on. And you know, those are probably that's probably not his fault. But moving forward, Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets GM, I don't think that's a great move at all, because he can't even manage what he has now. Because in my opinion, I think their window is closed, Houston Rockets. But maybe Sam Hinkie, maybe getting rid of him too soon, you know, was a mistake. Who knows? You know, it's hard to go back and say, hey, we could have done this or we should have done that. But, you know, I do have to give him credit, because he got everyone to buy into that whole trust the process theme, that whole theme. And, you know, it played out well over the few years. And, you know, he bought the Sixers organization a lot of time with that whole trust the process, that whole movement. And so,
great marketing strategy.
Right. And in that sense, I mean, maybe he should have kept his job. You know, it's hard to say looking back on it right now.
Didn't get a chance to finish the process.
Yeah.
Hancock, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he was fired too early. It's interesting that he would be the protege, or whatever you want to call him, under Morey, when their, I guess, methods are completely different.
Yeah.
And you look at what Houston does, you know, by going out and bringing in a star like Chris Paul to go along with a star they had in James Harden. It was more like they were building with, you know, let me get as much talent as I can on the floor. And Hinkie's whole process was, let's lose to get better. So that's just kind of strange that when he, you know, to be under that tree and do it two completely different ways, it was kind of strange.
It was probably looked at because Houston was maybe one star away in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And Philadelphia was like the eighth seed. So you're kind of you're not good enough to get any better, but you're kind of in no man's land.
Right. And I take that. I understand what you're saying, but he didn't go, you know, they wouldn't have got a James Harden. They wouldn't have got a Chris Paul. They wouldn't have got Trevor Ariza. They wouldn't have got Gordon. That's what I'm saying, is they went and got players that they said, well, we're going to build, and we're not going to just wait.
They had the assets, or at least more than Philadelphia had. So that's why they went a different direction.
But that's cool. But I just say, you know, Philly, they we're going to lose. And they were patient. by taking a player who had a back issue. They didn't rush him back. Then they take Ben Simmons. He has a foot issue. They didn't rush him back. And they, even with the kid that I think I was out on him, I think the whole NBA is out on him, but I think Markelle Fultz is going to have a nice second year, to be honest with you. Just mark that down. And they were patient with him. So the nucleus that they built, that they built over this time with the patience and drafting, I think will probably pay off in the long run. And like we said, they were probably a year earlier than we thought, almost getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, I think they got rid of Hinkie too quick. Yeah, he missed on some players. We talked about those players. But, hey, a lot of people miss on players.
All right. And the last one here, real quick, has a sound clip with it. Here we go.
Barkley sucks. Say Barkley sucks. Say Barkley sucks. Say Barkley sucks.
All right. So that is famed DJ, DJ Diesel, a.k.a. Shaquille O'Neal, during a set in which he basically calls for the crowd to chant Barkley sucks. So I'm going to bring someone who's been on hold for just a minute. I'm going to bring D. Will on the line. And D. Will, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Did you hear that sound clip?
I did.
All right. So are DJ, do you think that DJ Diesel and Chuck are actually friends?
I actually do. You know, their dynamic on TV helps a lot with them being able to go back and forth. They did have a couple of run-ins this past season on the show, on air live, where it looked a little bit like they didn't like each other. But I've seen worse between me and Hancock in the past. So I really do believe they're friends. And, like, you know, so that's Shaq doing his thing, you know. Him and Kobe didn't like each other, and we saw what he did in the freestyle. He told him to tell him how his butt tastes. So, you know, I think that's just Shaq being Shaq.
Mm. All right, Jay, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's a part of their whole narrative, or it's just a part of, you know, the inside the NBA. It's just that whole – I mean, at this point, they're sort of arch nemesis. So I think they play upon it, and, you know, it works. I think the biggest story was actually Shaq and, you know, his new status as super DJ. So, but yeah, I think it works, and I'm sure it doesn't bother Charles Barkley at all. I'm sure he probably expects it at this point.
All right, HO?
Yeah, this is almost like reality TV, WWE or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, I think they friends. I think they know how far to go with each other and things of that nature. So I just think it's working because we talking about it. And at the end of the day, that's what you want. So obviously it's working.
Hancock?
Yeah, I think they're friends, but I do think Shaq needles him sometimes. I think Barkley takes it. Has to hurt, especially when he talks about the championships. Because that's the thing that when it seems personal sometimes, when you can tell when they're talking about something, he'll tell Chuck all the time, you don't know what you're talking about because you wasn't the champion. And it just, I'm sure that gets old. Because what comeback does Barkley have for that?
No.
Oh, you 7 foot and you got four rings. What are they going to say? I mean, you say, I mean, there's nothing Barkley can say, but you rode the coattails of Kobe and Dwayne Wade. That's what he comes back with all the time. But I mean, that's a home run every time he says it. You don't have a championship. You can shut up. I know more than you. I got four championships.
Yeah.
And I think that's when it gets a little personal. I think that, if anything, to me, seems a little like he might have a little something going when he says that. Because you can kind of sense a little bit on that.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
All right. Well, that will do it for our buy or sell segment brought to you by Real Talk Tees. Visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to get yours today.
All right. Speaking of Real Talk Tees, our main man D. Will is on the phone. D. Will, what's up, homeboy?
What up, crew?
What up, man? Everything good with you?
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's. I want to get to take on the Kawhi Leonard trade. We did talk about it earlier as some of the hot news. So just kind of want to get to take. Who do you think won the trade, and what are some of your other thoughts?
Well, I really can't see who actually won the trade. I think it was a good trade for both teams. Both organizations, I think, won in the trade. San Antonio got them a bona fide scorer back in DeMar DeRozan. He's a 25-point-per-game scorer, so we know he's going to be able to go to San Antonio and get buckets. That's something that Kawhi Leonard has never done in his career, is average more than 25 or at 25 points a game. So I think San Antonio did win in that aspect. And even though it's on a one-year rental, I believe that Toronto did a good job with this trade. They're not only going to clear up some cap space next year and be able to retool after this season, but like Hancock calls them, the walking anaconda. Wakanda. What you call them? The walking
Wakandas,
Wakanda?
Baby. Yeah.
They're going to be in OG Anguinobi and Siakam. They're going to be a year older. I think you can play all three of them with Kawhi at the same time on the court. And if you can squeeze anything, if anything is left inside Serge Ibaka, you'll be able to get something out of him. And you still got, you were able to keep DeLon Wright, who we really believe, if there was going to be a trade, when we saw this trade happening earlier this morning, we thought DeLon Wright was automatically going to be within that trade, and they were able to keep him. So I like the trade for both teams. I think both teams actually won. And I really do believe that with the East being down with LeBron going west, that's a good chance that Toronto can get that number one seed and win the East this year. So I believe it's going to be an interesting season for Toronto and for San Antonio. But I feel bad for DeMar DeRozan, y'all. He just can't get away from LeBron, can he?
Yeah.
That's where he goes. He's going to continue to tap on his head as soon as he gets to San Antonio. So I just feel bad for him, but I think both teams won in the trade.
All right, cool. Let's switch gears to some SEC football. You got five new coaches in the SEC. They kind of ranked them, but we're not going to get into that. But I'm just going to go over a couple of names. And you tell me which coach is going to come out of this and which team is going to come out of this because of the coach. You got Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, Dan Mullen at Florida, Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State, Chad Morris at Arkansas, and Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. Which coach will have the most effect on their new team this year in the SEC?
Did you mention Chad Morris at Arkansas? You did mention him?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, out of those, you know, of course the two automatics are Dan Mullen and Jimbo Fisher from Texas A&M and Florida, respectively. But the person I think has the most upside for this season is Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State. They are stacked. Dan Mullen left that cupboard full for Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State. He has a returning senior quarterback in Nick Fitzgerald who's coming off a broken leg injury, but like y'all always say, bones heal, ligaments don't. So he has a good chance to come back and be the player that he was prior to the injury. And like I say, that cupboard is full at Mississippi State. Only downside for them is they're in the western part of the conference, and they have to see the Alabamas, the Auburns, and the LSUs on a weekly basis. But I really do believe if he's able to bring that fast-paced offense, which he had weapons with, he was the former offensive coordinator at Penn State. He worked with Saquon Barkley. We saw him make Saquon Barkley into a number two NFL draft pick. If he can come into Mississippi State and bring that high-paced, high-octane offense to the SEC and make it work, I believe he's going to have a very successful year. We all know this is his first year as a head coach, so he's going to have his ups and downs and take his lumps. But this is the year that he should be able to do something at Mississippi State and make some noise. So I'm looking forward to him to be the one that has the most upside going into, for all the new coaches in the SEC.
Hey, I agree with you because they did leave it kind of full over there at Mississippi State. And by them being on the west side of the conference, they're not expected to do much anyway. So they're kind of like a sleeper with a whole bunch of talent. NBA Summer League just ended. Portland wins the championship. I think this is their second year they won it in a row, something like that.
No, well, actually, Lakers won.
Okay. It was just a repeat of the championship game. Okay. So,
exactly.
Give me some of the guys that you liked in the summer league play, or and some sleepers that you like from watching summer league this season.
I'm gonna tell you, it's two players that stood out that were okay. Let me say, when I watch summer league basketball, I have to break it down into two different categories. I break it down into second year NBA players and actual rookies.
Right.
Because once you watch summer league basketball, you can actually see the second year players. They look a little bit different, especially the ones who went through a full NBA season in the NBA. And you can even tell with the ones who were on two-way contracts who played sometime in the G League, and other times they played in the NBA. You can see the difference in the maturity in those type players when they're out there on the court. But the true rookies that really impressed me were, of course, Colin Sexton of the Cleveland Cavaliers, young bull, he showed out in the summer league. And also another point guard in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Los Angeles Clippers. He looks like a pro. At 6'7", being able to see over the defense and run an offense. And also, he showed the ability to score, which is something he didn't show a lot at Kentucky because he was on a team that was so stacked. And Kentucky didn't have the typical Kentucky season that we're used to seeing them have. But he stepped out here in summer league, averaged over 20 points per game, and showed that he is really, really a bona fide pro and that they made a good selection in choosing him that high in the draft. So the two players that really stood out to me were Colin Sexton and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now, a sleeper that I really believe that is shocked and people were down on, because what's the narrative? If you stay in college nowadays more than 1 year, it must be something wrong.
Right.
But the guy that stayed and came out after his sophomore year is out of Michigan State and Miles Bridges. His athletic ability is off the charts. He is going to help Charlotte a lot this year with him being on the court. If they're able to keep Kemba Walker, that's going to be a dynamic that I really believe can work because he's athletic, he's big. He showed the ability to be able to shoot the NBA three-pointer, which was something that they were down on for him in college, not having the numbers. Even though he shot around 38% in college, it was a real question on was he going to be able to stretch that out to the 25-9 in the NBA three-point line. And he really showed that he's going to be a formidable three-point shooter. If he can get his feet set and he's on balance, he can knock down that shot. I think he's going to be a real draft sleeper with him falling all the way down to 12. I think that's somebody to look out for in the pre-rookie of the year candidate.
All right, man. We appreciate it, man. And we're going to talk more about that in the second hour of the show. Matter of fact, we got to let you go so we can get to the second hour show. We appreciate you calling in, as always, giving us your thoughts. But before you leave, I did have a question for you. An email bag came in and wanted to know, do you know the four Braves players who played in the All-Star game last night?
Try hell and no.
As you should. That's what I thought. But D-Will, we appreciate it, bro. And we'll talk to you soon, baby.
All right, fellas. Y'all have a good show. Talk to y'all later.
All right, man. Hey, that's D-Will. And as he should, he didn't know any Braves in the All-Star game last night. So. That's crazy. But we got to get to the second half of the show. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, you already know, we got the roundtable discussion. And did I mention we got an SRT fun bag? Movie themes coming up. SRTRadio.com on the Real 1100.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peekville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's the Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today.
The work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy, or more specifically, the feet work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies, specifically how footwork is the foundation to be a complete basketball player. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy, where footwork is key.
Sports Roundtable.
Jack in a
diss track.
Yeah. Bars.
Bars.
Yeah. Bars. Hey, G, did you like the diss track, though, from Zach?
It was all right.
Oh, come on, G. Come on, G.
I mean, it sounded like 1994, but...
He 40. What do you want?
Actually, 45. Yeah.
Thank you. You want him to go? Like, he can't go on there and turn up like Lil Uzi Vert. You feel me? He can't give you Playboy Cardi. He gave you, oh, hey, he gave you hip hop bars. Hey, he gave you Foo Snickers.
Only on WWE, the real 1100 AM.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T.
Yeah.
Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Uh-huh. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. Boom. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. Oh, no. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll type forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Man with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? We're back. Sports Roundtable in the building. We're up in the penthouse. And thanks for tuning in. Second hour of the show. First hour of the show, we gave you some hot news, some buy and sell, and we chopped it up, talked about Le'Veon Bell and the T.O. clapback with the Hall of Fame. So if you missed that part, please go back and watch and go to the website, srtradio.com, and listen to the podcast if you missed that part. Do want to get into some other news, though, real quick. Fellas, I want to get your take on this. Madden. The famous football game is moving to PC.
Wow.
Would that encourage you to bring your retired jersey out of not playing on the console and back into play? Hey, you playing it on the PC?
No, man, my day's over. My jersey's in the Raptors, baby.
Smooth, what you think?
Nah, yeah, same thing for me.
It ain't. G, would you play it on PC?
I technically retired 2 years ago because I haven't bought Madden 17 or 18.
Right. Okay. Well, speaking of Madden 19, AB will be on the cover. Good, bad, because we know the Madden curse is out.
Madden curse is about tough as the Kardashian curse, so I don't know.
Yeah, so... Oh, that's going to be tough for AB. Manny did, I think the trade did go through with the Dodgers. So the question is, the bigger fish that Magic caught this year, Manny or LeBron?
Oh, no doubt, man. Come on.
Y'all just going to dog baseball, huh?
Yeah, nobody moves the needle like LeBron. Yeah.
Do you know what Manny Machado looks like?
I do.
Okay, Hancock, do you know what Manny Machado looks like?
Yeah, I know what he looked like, G, but, you know. But he better keep his jersey on.
See? There you go. There you go.
He got to have his jersey on.
He got to have his jersey on. Oh, that's cold. But, well, let's just say, like, Magic is making big moves. How about that?
Yeah.
L.A. is back. Can we say that?
Back where?
Okay.
I mean, you're saying back in the
stardom, in the race. I guess. I mean
the city should be on fire.
Right.
But And we're gonna talk about
no offense to the bonfires out there. No offense.
But we're gonna get into the roundtable discussion on the Lakers.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll hold that.
But the Dodgers are doing pretty well.
Yeah, Dodgers picked it back up.
And then adding Manny, I think, would kind of push them. You know,
gives them a stick and defense, so
I guess they can battle. Jabari Parker signed a 2-year deal with his hometown Chicago Bulls.
What is it about Jabari that can't get to that level of at least a star?
Injury.
You think that's it? Think that's on knees. It was just unfortunate that the Greek Freak blew up while he was injured. I guess.
Yeah. Because before it was his team.
Yeah. So do you think anything happens for him in Chicago? Is it he and LaVine? So who vies for that number one guy on the team?
LaVine can't stay up either.
Wendell Carter, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they got some nice young talent.
It's hard for a big to be the centipede, the star, because this is such a wing-driven.
It's a wait-and-see deal, because I think he was itching to get on the floor in the playoffs. Got something to prove. Mm-hmm. He's always been up against this situation where the need. Now he got paid handsomely.
Yeah, they paid him $40 million.
2 years, $40 million. So we'll see. I think that they'll be all right. So I'm happy for the young fella. So, but all right, fellas, let's switch gears, and G, let's go ahead and get into some of this. Sports Roundtable Discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable Discussion sponsored by the aforementioned Bo Bell Basketball. Bo Bell is the man that you need to see if you want to improve your basketball game, where he believes feet work is key. Go to CoachBoBellBasketball.com for more information. Summer League has ended. NBA, they continue to be relevant throughout the whole year, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to jump into some top five players that we like, and I'll go ahead and start it off. I know there was a first team, second team. They went to Utah, and then they went to Vegas and things of that nature. But just watching what I've seen, I like Ayton. This is my five. I like Ayton, John Collins, Kevin Knox, Javon Carter, Josh Hart, with Wendell Carter and Colin Sexton being honorable mentions. Ayton showed that he's a big guy that can rebound, block shots, and be a force in the middle. Can actually make the 15-footer. I think he can make the three. I don't think that the offense is kind of meant for that, but I think they're growing to it. John Collins, second-year player, shown in two games, averaging 24 points a game. And Kevin Knox, obviously the only – coming into the draft, the thing about him was that his motor going to stop sometimes and then speed up and things of that nature. So I think he played a little more consistent with the Knicks, showing that he can come off picks, get to the basket, shoot the ball. Javon Carter, to me, probably was the most surprising player in the summer league, with not just the scoring and the winning that Memphis did, but the leadership that he showed as a point guard, being under Bob Huggins and playing 4 years at West Virginia. I think showed a great tenacity in him, and I think Memphis and his mindset fits because of the toughness that he showed and the leadership ability that he's brought to the table. I think he'll be a great backup for Connolly, but I think eventually, you know, if he continue to ascend the way that he's doing, Conley might be an asset that they can probably move.
Man, how much more years left on that contract?
Three.
And how much a year?
30 plus.
They ain't moving nowhere with that.
And obviously Josh Hart, Hancock's lawyer. I mean, one of Hancock's fan favorites. He just showed second-year player, man, that sometimes it just takes time. And the 37-point game that he put up was pretty good. I do like the other kid from Kansas as well.
Some with a V.
Yeah, Mikayla or something like that. I mean, I'm not good with these names.
That guy.
Sometimes, yeah, but, you know, he was number 10 in Kansas. But anyway, Josh Hart did a great job in this summer league. I think he made a statement in this summer league to show that, you know, did they make a mistake by signing Pope back? Because Josh Hart could be your starting two guard. You could have saved your $12 million.
No, they couldn't because that was part of the LeBron coming, their deal. He's under Clutch Sports.
That's true.
That's what that was about.
That's true. And, of course, Wendell Carter, who played at Duke but played very, very well with the Bulls, showed the ability to step out, shoot the three, rebound, block shots, and was a force in the inside, and I think he was overshadowed at Duke a lot of times because of Bagley. So
who's going to be the better player in the NBA?
I think Carter got the most potential.
Wow. And that's deep because I heard so much about how this kid was going to be the next.
And
he was supposed to be.
And don't get me wrong, he is – but when I say the potential of Carter, it's not nothing that he can't do. Like, he shoots the three. I mean, he can – if he worked on his game, he's big enough to take you off the dribble, pull up mid-range, three-point. He can score at all three levels, block shots, and see, the key is that he's much more fluent. Bagley just – energizes himself. He's just a ball of energy, so to speak.
So did, and this is nothing, we're not going into who
right.
who held anybody back. Well, did Duke make a mistake of trying to build this thing around Bagley and not continue, because Carter was the centerpiece?
He was the centerpiece.
Until Bagley declared early and whatever came out early.
Yeah. He was the centerpiece, and I think, and this is just me, and I'm going to be real quick with this because we got to move on. But I don't know if y'all remember when Bagley got hurt during the season.
I remember.
And he was out for like 6 to 7 games.
Yeah, and Carter.
Right. So this me knowing my guy, Duke for life, this was a purposely done to get Carter to shine enough to gain some traction. Bagley injury never got reported of what it was. Mm-hmm. He could have played, from my sources, after the first two games.
Because he got stuck in the eye. We know that.
That wasn't because it was a leg injury
that they held him out for.
Right. So there you go.
I was just wondering, who do you think was going to be the better pro?
I think now
the jury's out as far as I'm concerned. I do like what Carter brings. It's just a problem that in the NBA, it's not a big man's game.
Yeah, and I agree.
And it's like somebody has to get him off. It's not like when KD can bring the ball up or KD can start an offense, you know, being 7 foot.
Right.
That's the new 7 footer.
Right.
And being that Wendell Carter is more. He can step out, but he's a in-the-paint player.
But also the fluidity of his game. He can step out and guard screen and roll.
Yeah, Bagley and like that. That's fine. I understand what you're saying about guarding. But when we talk about on the offensive end, because we know it's going to be LaVine starting offense, it's going to be Jabari starting offense with the ball in their hand.
Or Dunn.
And he's going to be relying on them getting him the ball where he needs to get it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying about a big now. Can't really, unless you're that KD type big, I just don't know how, you know.
And it also depends on systems, how they're being used and things of that nature. You know, that tends to have a lot to do with a lot of it as well. Because, you know, again, I've always said is who believes in you.
Right.
Who believes in the game.
But the thing you're saying about Carter is that he won't have to come out of the game because of that defense. You're thinking
No.
He'll be able to step out and defend.
His potential is unlimited. It's nothing that he can't do. Now,
Is he more athletic than Bagley then? Are you saying he's more athletic?
He's more fluent. If he gets the ball in the post, you'll see post moves. If Bagley get the ball in the post, you'll just see
his athleticism jumping
exactly.
over.
Exactly. So, which means Carter can not go get tired as quick. He has NBA moves. He has moves that allows you to see that, wow, this dude can really move his feet. Bo Bell will be proud.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I agree, but it's almost like catch 22. Those are great things to have, but nobody uses the post no more.
Yeah, but that was just an example.
Right.
I mean, that was just an example.
And it's like, what do you do with that kind of kid? I mean, he's going to get kind of shelved when you look at how
they're going to let me just say this. He can do just about what Embiid can do with Philly. He can post up. He can shoot the three.
Okay.
He can block shots. He rebounds. And he plays defense.
Okay.
So, but at Duke, he was a bit more aggressive and they caught a lot of fouls on him and things of that nature. But I think all those things have changed when you get to the NBA. So, all right. Well, that's my top five and my honorable mention. Han, you got something?
Yeah, just a couple. I do like the two kids in Memphis. I think they're going to contribute. I think Javon Carter's going to contribute. I think Jared Jackson Jr. is going to contribute. I told you before, I think especially early, he'll be Ariza-like because I think he has the length. I think he can defend on the perimeter, get back and get the ball off the backboard. He's shown he can step out and shoot it. So I think if you put him in that role of, okay, we're just going to bring you along slowly. You're not going to be a focal point of the offense or anything like that. Just make your shots. Run the floor, rebound, you know, play defense, get through these switches, and being able to at least just contest jumpers with that length is going to be something that you need, especially trying to get out on shooters in that short corner or that wing. So I think he's going to contribute. And Javon Carter, like we said, anytime you can put somebody on and make the Golden State-type players like Steph have to work getting the ball up the court, make James Harden have to work getting it up to go, or Chris Paul. Those type of players, the Tony Allen, he's in that Tony Allen mode. And that's what I like. I think when you put him in that system in Memphis where that's just what they're built on, that grit and grind, and I think those two guys will fit in perfectly. I'm kind of interested to see how Sacramento uses Bagley and even the second-year kid, or what is he?
Fox.
No, the kid, other
Scum,
kid out of Duke.
Harry Giles.
I want to see how he develops. Because I saw him early in some league, and he looks like he's playing with an edge. And he has length. So I think, you know, we won't see a lot of Sacramento because they won't be on TV. You know, us junkies of basketball to stay up late some nights and watch them. I do want to see Fox because I think his game will pop a little bit in the second year. But as far as summer league guys, I'm looking to see what Aiden does. When we see these guys play in summer league, I told you, I look for the guys that dominate a summer league. Then I know they're kind of ready to go and play at the next level. When they kind of, like, and that can be kind of fool's gold too, because we saw Lonzo Ball kind of wreck the league in summer league last year and win the MVP. And didn't play bad. Don't get me wrong. I think the expectations, if the expectations were lowered coming into the league, everybody would say he had a good year. But with the thing that his dad put on him and, you know, all the fanfare coming into the league, it was just hard unless he just really had a phenomenal year. He was not going to live up to the expectations. Right. So we have to temper that. I'm curious about Trae Young, you know, especially being here local. You want to see what happens with him. I do like that the adjustment he made from early in the summer league, even in that early Utah thing, he was a little, I won't say jittery, I think he pressed a little bit. But to see his game start to develop more and him say, okay, I'm going to keep shooting, but I'm going to get people involved.
Right.
And he played more in that vein of, like he said, his favorite player, Steve Nash, getting people involved, and that's where he needs to be. He need to stay in that vein, stop people, all this Steph Curry. Steph Curry is an anomaly. And yeah, he might make some shots like Steph, but the thing that sets Steph apart is that he's shooting from range, and he's shooting 48%, 45%. And that's unreal. I mean, his shooting is video game-like, and nobody else in the league is doing that. So it's kind of hard for us. You know, I think if Trey was dark-skinned, it would be different. You know, and that sounds funny, but I'm saying when you see him, that light skin and shooting from range, everybody, oh, that's Steph Curry again.
Right, right, right.
And that's bad.
Then he'll be the black Steph Curry.
Yeah, he might, but still, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think it wouldn't be put on him as much to measure up to Steph Curry if he didn't kind of resemble that slight build, light skinned kid. And that's what everybody's banking on. And, you know, the more I think about it, I'm kind of glad they do have German Chocolate here, because it's not all on Trey right now. You can kind of bring him along and let him kind of develop under him, and then kind of put him out there, because if he was just in the limelight from the start, it'd be like throwing fresh meat out to the lions.
Yeah, well that might not hold up too much longer, but I mean, something we'll talk about.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, Smooth, what you got?
I'll try to hit on a few guys that we didn't talk about. You mentioned this one guy earlier that plays for the Lakers, Svi Mykhailiuk. I'm not sure how you say his
Mykhailiuk.
Name.
Mykhailiuk.
Yeah, it's good enough.
Yeah. Averaged 16 per game throughout the Vegas tournament, at least. I love that he shoots the three very well. Something that the Lakers need. They desperately need, considering all the roster moves. And I love that he finishes at the cup well.
He's about 6'8", wing player.
Yeah. Looks amazing. You know, the more I look at the Lakers' collection of young talent, the more impressed I am, especially with Josh Hart. We talked about him. I'll talk about the Portland Trailblazers. They had a few guys that really impressed me last night, and a dookie, Gary Trent Jr.
Right.
He looked pretty good last night. I think the only problem is that he'll play on the team with two guys who does the exact same thing that he brings to the table.
And Seth Curry brothers there with him.
Exactly. Yeah. But he shoots the ball well. I love his mid-range game. You know, he can also get to the rim. And, you know, he does things really well. Caleb Swanigan, the kid out of Purdue. He looked like a big bully, maybe a Zach Randolph type.
Right.
The past. I think he's a guy that could help Portland next year. He's exactly what they need. And there was another guy. The kid from the Knicks drafted, Mitchell Robinson. We talked about him earlier. Yeah. Him sitting out an entire year, we didn't know what this kid was going to do because he signed with
Western Kentucky.
Right. So the Knicks got an absolute steal, and Kevin Knox as well. He looked lost at times to me at Kentucky, and sometimes
It's hard to play in Cal's system because he wants you to give your game up.
Right. Yeah, and that he did, but, you know, Kevin Knox he showed elite athleticism. I mean, this guy's he's a real pro. I didn't expect this. I really didn't see it, but you know, it kind of bothers me. I wish the Knicks took Dennis Smith Jr. last year. If they took him with Kevin Knox, Porzingis, and this Mitchell Robinson kid, the Knicks would have had something. But, you know, John Collins was another guy. You talked about him. Only two games, but all Atlanta fans out there, if you're listening here in Atlanta, you should be encouraged with Trae Young,
Ed listening in now. He said he never should have been there. And I think Ed coming on next week to talk about this summer league. So we go definitely get out. Definitely.
Said John shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, I say John never. He shouldn't have been there. He ain't even played two games.
Yeah,
but he dominated like a second year guy should. Yeah.
And speaking of a second year guy, I want to ask G this.
Yeah.
Are we disappointed in Josh Jackson? Yeah. Second year guy.
I was looking up some player stats. Like, did he play? Was he hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, he actually played three games. Right. But he averaged 10 points and 2 rebounds.
Yeah, then it's
all the hype coming out of Kansas, and I agree. He's not panning out.
No,
I mean, and to me, he's in a situation where he can.
He can.
Which, I mean, because you're talking about he's battling with T.J. Warren for the small forward position. T.J. is a third or fourth year player at this particular point.
Yeah.
And he was missed everything at North Carolina State, leading the league and scoring and things of that nature. But Josh Jackson came in with a whole bunch of, fanfare.
Yeah.
And, you know, our friend Deshaun Tate, you know, he rocked with him and said, you know, He's gonna. But I mean, again, I'm to your point, Hand. Let's let it play out. But the only thing we're saying is that he just didn't jump. I never saw the jump.
Yeah, you don't see that.
You never saw the jump.
Right, I agree.
In that, so I mean, that's just what it is. All right. Switching gears to a little NFL, and then we'll swing back to some NBA. Earl Thomas came out on Twitter. If nobody saw this, and just kind of paraphrasing, saying that if you don't want me here, let's go ahead and make a trade, things of that nature. Obviously, Earl Thomas is not happy in Seattle. And Sherman got traded.
The boom is over.
Yeah. So, and my question is, what happened in Seattle? Do we just go ahead and point to
say it?
Not giving the ball.
That is
to Skittle Man himself.
I wish D Will was here with the bell. Ding ding ding.
Yeah.
So, but my question is, how is let's go down the line. How can that one play affect just the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, thank you, G. and these kind of coincide. Golden State was up 3-1 on Cleveland. They suspended Draymond.
Right.
They never got their rhythm back in that series.
Right.
And they should have won that series. They were up 3-1. And they had two more games at home. They hadn't lost at home in how many years? I mean, how many? They won 73-9.
Yeah.
So they didn't lose many at home.
Right.
They lost two games at home. So when you break up that, I think what you had in Marshawn was really the heart of the team. Even though their defense was what it was, they would just kind of build momentum with how Marshawn kept drives alive and how he ran over other teams and he just killed people. You see their defense just kind of get more and more ferocious as he did. And when they saw that the organization, rather than win a Super Bowl, try to make Russell Wilson the MVP, I think it fractured the team, and they never recovered.
If you look at the game, the NFC Championship game that season against the Packers when they made that comeback, Marshawn Lynch scored. Did he score two touchdowns?
Right.
He caught one. I think he ran for another one. So, I admit they went away from him. It was clearly they went away from him. I don't know if they decided as an organization, like from the owner down.
So, like, Russell, that might have been a little much,
but they definitely went away to. And just look at that moment to where you had two timeouts. It was like 30 seconds left. You have two timeouts. You could run the ball, and if he doesn't get in, you call a timeout. You still have one left, and then you call a pass play.
Right?
Maybe not that.
Because it was second down, right?
It was first and goal.
First and goal, right?
Second and goal.
That's right.
He ran it down to like the two, I think. The play before then. Yeah.
So, like, even in that moment, it's like, why not trust a guy who it can't be stopped around the goal line? And it's that moment to where now the defense doesn't trust what the offense is going to do. Like, we're going to do all this work and then you're going to throw it away. Literally.
So did that leave defensive coaches to leave Pete Carroll's staff?
I don't think it let the defensive coaches leave.
Because Dan Quinn left after that.
Yeah, well, he was going to be gone anyway. I don't think it's a success. Yeah, that's what happens with teams that win. They lose coaches. That's as we did at Florida State for 14 years. We kept everybody, but then, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
But I just think that fractured that locker room because you already had players on the defense saying that they were really the heart and soul of the team.
Right.
Besides Marshawn. You know, but Russell got a lot of the accolades and a lot of the credit. And, you know, sometimes they look at Russell and they say, company man. You know, I think that some of the defensive players had a little animosity toward him. You could see it. And then it's almost like that Steph Curry thing with the NBA. You know, I mean, it just is what it is. They look at him a little different and they treat him a different.
Smooth, your thoughts on what happened in Seattle and did they really miss a window of opportunity moving forward?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's no guarantee that, you know, if they did win the Super Bowl that they lost, that they would have gone back that next year and won it. There's no guarantee. But that one play, it did set in motion like a series of events. Because after that, you know, you start to offensively, you start to head into a different direction strategically. You start to, well, they signed Jimmy, well, traded for Jimmy Graham. You trade Max Unger, I think it was, the center, to the Saints. For Jimmy Graham, you want to become this more prolific offense. You want to
Unger an all-pro center?
Yeah. All-pro center. Yeah, you want to, you know, become a pass-happy offense, open things up. And the Jimmy Graham movie turned out to be a bad move. It wasn't a great fit at all. I still think Daryl Bevel should have been fired a long time ago. As far as the Legion of Boom, you know, they were all huge fans of Marshawn Lynch. And as Hancock said, like the sort of momentum that he provided, the entire team fed off of that. And, you know, it allowed the Legion of Boom to, in a way, be who they were.
Right.
These were guys who completely shut down drives. And, I mean, what that first Super Bowl, you know, they turned the greatest offense of all time. They looked like absolutely nothing. Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos.
Right.
But as a whole, I just think mismanagement. I think the New England Patriots, they were this sort of rare exception. Like they, Bill Belichick, he had a way of managing the cap, managing player egos, things like that. And if I could fault Pete Carroll, that would be it. Like him and John Snyder, the Hawks, the Seahawks GM, they failed to manage the cap, manage player egos, which has led to, you know, where they are now. And they're, I mean,
purgatory almost.
Are we?
And that was the key, is that you didn't have to pay your quarterback yet.
Yeah.
And that's it's so important when you have a focal point of your team that you're not really tied up in a lot of money. We saw that, and I hate to keep using, but that's even Steph with that $11 million. He wasn't taking the lion's share, and that's what was happening with Russell. And that defense was just, think about it. If they'd have won back-to-back Super Bowls, as dominant as that defense was, they would have gone down in history as one of the better teams. That, you know, you win back-to-back Super Bowls, you get to a different level.
Yeah.
And you can only say about them, they only won one. Yeah. As great as that team was defensively, they got one title. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and so do the Bears. But you understand, the Bears, they came at a time where they were just shutting people down ridiculously. Right. But I'm saying that Seattle team could have been put up on a different level with back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So are we going to blame Seattle for Brandon Browner's arrest?
Nah, that's on him. That's on him.
That's all him.
Yeah.
I thought as a Falcons fan, you would have blamed the Saints because he played for them too.
Well, I just figured since we was talking about Seattle, you know, we just he was a part of them at one point. So real quick, what do you expect from Seattle this year, Han?
I think they'll take a step back.
You
know, they're going to have to rely on Russell to be more of the focal point. Now, the offense, the whole dynamic of the team is shifting.
Yeah.
It used to be defense and offense scored enough points and we'll win it. We'll bring it home. Now they're going to have to rely on Russell to get them over the hump. And does he have enough around him? That remains to be seen.
Right. Give me a win total for them for this year.
Ooh, 9 wins.
Smooth, what you got for Seattle this year? They take a step back or?
Oh, yeah, of course. I expect the Rams to win that division, and the NFC is loaded. They won't make the playoffs this year. I'm thinking 8-8 or 7-9.
G?
They can still make the playoffs. But they're not winning the division. I think the Rams have, it's theirs to lose. Their offense may open up a little bit. They're going to struggle on defense, especially because they don't have, I don't know where Sheldon Richardson actually went, but I know he went to another team. It's basically Bobby Wagner out there by himself.
Yep.
And the offense is going to open up a little bit. Maybe Rashad Penny gives them a boost in the running game. But
can Carlson recover from that injury from last year? Who got hurt? Who was their best running back for two games?
Greg Cutler. I mean, talking about
from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, the kid from played here.
Georgia.
I mean, out of Parkview. Parkview. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know if he's going to be able to come back.
Okay, I got you.
Vikings.
He went to the Vikings?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they also lost Bennett. So
yeah, they traded Michael Bennett.
I mean, that defense is not the same.
Cliff Averill, he retired.
Yeah. Yep. He retired?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cam Chancellor is all but retired.
Gone. Yeah.
So yeah, it's okay. It's Earl Thomas, but he probably will get traded when the season starts. So it'll be Bobby Wagner on defense all by himself.
So now let's move.
Now it might be a little hot, G. I might want to take that down about 8-8.
You want 8-8?
8-8.
Yeah. All right. So now there is a story that Cam Chancellor could become a Falcons assistant coach, defensive coach, along with.
Can't make no tackles assistant coach.
Well, I'm just saying him and Dan Quinn got a relationship and all this other kind
that
of mean, stuff.
That relationship with Pete is severed. Has to be. Yeah. If he's going to go, like, I'm going to go work for Dan Quinn now.
Right. Because, I mean, he can teach safeties, you know, defensive back, things like that. I mean, I'm just throwing it out. So, I mean. All right. Now, I'm sure Jackie has been waiting on the LeBron talk. So, Jackie, here we go. LeBron goes to L.A., and some had said that they are the second best team in the West.
Some would be mistaken.
So, I think, 27 wins last year?
I think that was about right.
I think about 35.
Was it that about? It might have been 35.
Yeah, I think it was around 35. I'm looking it up.
Okay, let's look that up. So, with LeBron James, and we know Kawhi is not going to L.A. this year, how many wins will the Lakers win this year?
See, you got that total yet that they won last year?
They won 35 games last year.
I would say LeBron gives them 15 to about 12 more wins onto that. So
that's 47.
Between 40 and 47, 43 games, somewhere in there, I think they'll win.
Okay, to keep in mind here that Denver won 46 and was the ninth seed.
Right. Mm. I say 47 wins.
Okay, now you move to the eighth seed.
I go to 47. Yeah. I think 47 wins.
All right, Smooth, what you think? With because you say you kind of like their young team.
Yeah, I do. I'll give them an even 50. Now, that's going to be tough because you're playing the Western Conference Elite, Golden State, OKC, Houston. You're playing a lot of these teams.
New Orleans going to be better.
3-4 times. Yeah, New Orleans better.
Portland. Right. What you like.
The entire Western Conference is going to be better.
Denver is going to be better.
Yeah. I still give them 50 wins. I think Cleveland, he was playing the Eastern Conference. But,
exactly.
But I expect the Eastern Conference teams to be beat up on this year. So I think that's where the majority of their wins will probably come from. So, and I think the team he has now is better than what he had last year. I don't know what he had last year. That was pretty bad. I'll give him 50 wins.
50 wins. G, yeah. What you got?
Only two teams in the West won 50 games last year. I think 47 is fair, and they'll be between 6 and 8 as far as the seeding.
Okay, I'm going to go with 4-5. I give them 10 games. The max is 4-7. So I'm with you, G. Maybe between 6 and 8. And, you know, barring injury, of course, to any other teams that
and
could.
You said that, and that's the thing that hadn't happened to him, really, in his career.
Yeah.
He's been an Iron Man. He's been Wolverine. And I just wonder, man, it's 15 years in the league, the laws of average.
Your hand ain't bought in yet.
I'm just saying, I hope he does not get this, but some kind of way you hit a wall eventually.
Yeah.
And sometimes it happens faster than a gradual decline.
Well, maybe his FedEx mail don't show up in Miami this summer.
No.
So,
what you saying?
So there's more onus on Luke Walton this year to manage his minutes. Man. Like
LeBron gonna go check in when he wants to, when he does.
Coach LeBron.
Yeah.
Coach LeBron.
So that Luke Walton is just warming the seat, man.
Just a guy.
Warming the seat.
That's it.
All right, so we got 47. G, you got 47 is fair. Yep. Smooth got more faith.
Yeah, that 50 piece.
Yeah, yeah. He got more than the 50 piece. Yeah, so that's either 1 through 3. See, yeah, that's based a third on seed. Last year. Yeah. And I got them between 45 and 47. So, I mean, obviously we'll revisit this and see what's going on. But it's going to be very, very interesting. And Hancock still is not bought into the LeBron hype yet.
See, I think when we talk about the hype of LeBron coming to the Lakers and me being a Laker fan.
They will say between third and the sixth seed.
Yeah, I see that. I just think that the majority of Laker fans, you know, he happy you got LeBron. But the thing is, like, it would be different if he came and he was a younger age.
Ed say between third, three and seven.
Because now it's like, okay, your prime years, the great LeBron is gone. You know what I'm saying? When you saw Shaq come to L.A., you knew the best was yet to come.
Right.
You saw, you kind
of grew
up.
They got rid of him when he got to that.
Exactly. You know, so that's the only thing when you look at this. It's like, you know, that's why when we talked about, is it a failure if he doesn't win the championship? How much time does he have to be that elite? You know, I know people say, well, he can go into the post and do, but that's not what LeBron is. That's just like when you got Michael Vick. People didn't come to just see Michael Vick drop back in the pocket and throw. Yeah. What made him special was he ran.
This is why I said that, like, this stint with LeBron with the Lakers is going to be like Shaq, and he was 24 when he came to the Lakers, or it's going to be like Steve Nash at 40.
See, that's what's scary.
And there's no in-between. It's going to be one or the other.
All right. Well, next week, what we'll talk about the pressure of winning the championship soon in L.A. and what does that do for the legacy of LeBron, because there's not been a superstar that's gone to L.A. and not won a championship. So that's something we're going to talk about next week. But when we get back, it is time for our infamous SRT Fun Bag. So stay with us. Keep it locked. We'll be back in 1 minute. SRT Fun Bag coming up. You're listening to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on The Real 1100 and srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
What up, though? What up, though? It's your boy, Tate's Take. Of course, none other than Deshaun Tate. I go by the Sports Debate Slayer and the Bracket Master. Hey, SRT, man, it gets no realer than this right here at The Real 1100 AM. My boy D. Will, the coach, G. Money, H.O., Hancock. Make sure you stay right here, locked in, The Real 1100 AM, SRT, keeping it real funky.
SRT Fun Bag, go,
back, go. No. Think, since you're thinking, now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
Oh, funny.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Are we having fun yet?
SRT Fun Bag, we winding things down. As we had another great show, man. Thanks to Takes Demo. And when he get back in town, of course, he'll be in studio with us. But now it's time for some fun, SRT Fun Bag. And we're going to do movie lines and movie themes. Movie lines is the theme. So one of your favorite movie lines or scenes in a movie. And I had to promise someone that we would not be talking about Rudy tonight, even though I just mentioned him anyway. But I just had to throw that out. I'm gonna go ahead and start this off, and I don't know if I really need to say this, but for all those who are not into the cussing and the swearing, we apologize if it's one of my favorite movie scenes But I'm going to start off with the scene in Menace to Society when Samuel Jackson, known as Tat, and they was downstairs gambling, and Tat wanted his money. You got my money yet? What you mean? You ain't got my money yet. Everybody know you just went upstate and got that and robbed everybody for that money. Who you think you is, Ron O'Neill or somebody? Well, Tat pulled that gun out. What you gonna do with that? Man, you better. Pa pa pa! Poker game kept going.
Minister Society.
And so, to me, Sam Jackson could be in a whole bunch of lines as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So, I was really paying homage at this point with the Sam Jackson. But one of my favorites of all time is the Bernie Mac in the Players Club. When Jamie Foxx came in and talking about his 30%, you already take 30% on the money you loan me, yeah, and 25% out of my check.
Wow.
Dollar bill.
Say, I tell you what.
Shout out.
You better get on up out my face before you get swole.
Wow. Great.
Hey, man.
The late, great Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac, man. That was, I just think that was, you just can't say enough for Bernie Mac. He had one him and Sam played, what was the movie they played in together?
Soul Man.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about that because it's too much swearing. So, I'm going to have to go to you now.
My line comes from Fridays. With my boy Ice Cube and my boy Chris Tucker sitting there. Everybody knows, sitting there chilling. And the lady across the street. Hey, Miss Parker. Hi, boys. One of my favorite scenes of all time.
When you gonna let me, Miss Parker? What you say?
I ain't going through all that.
What'd you say, huh? Oh, no. No.
All right, Smooth, what you got?
Mine is coming from Talladega Nights, Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Now, this might be the most disrespectful scene I've ever seen. This was when you first meet the entire family. You meet Ricky Bobby's kids, Walker and Texas Ranger. And you also meet Grandpa Chip, who had to be in his 70s, which warrants a certain amount of respect, and he was a war vet. But the way this man's grandchildren disrespected him, it's unbelievable. And while they disrespected him, Ricky Bobby and the wife, they sit there and encouraged the kids, disrespecting their grandfather, who was a war vet. They told the man they would throw his medals in the pond, in the lake. I mean, it was just completely disrespectful. So, shout out to Walker, Texas Ranger, Grandpa Chip. Hopefully he can get some respect from somebody. So, all
right, G, what you got?
One of my favorite movies ever, and what I think it's the best comedy ever made, is Coming to America. There's a lot of stuff I can quote from it.
Oh, yeah.
Like when they're in the barbershop. I met Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. one time. Man, you lying. You ain't never met Martin Luther King.
Yes, he did. No, he did not.
What always gets me is with that other barber as the like Martin Luther the King. Gets me every single time.
Yeah. You ain't never met Dr. Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther, okay. Another line is when they're at McDowell's and Maurice, played by Louis Anderson, he's like, hey, I started out mopping the floor just like you guys. And now I'm washing lettuce. Soon I'll be on fries. Then the grill. In a year or two, I'll make assistant manager. And that's when the big bucks start.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, to stay on Coming to America, when we first met Randy Watson, the singer at the convention.
Oh, Lord.
And there was a scene when he was talking to Reverend Brown that was played by Arsenio. He's like, yeah, this is Reverend Brown. He's been my pastor since I was a little boy, and I love this man dearly. Randy Watson kissed Reverend Brown on the cheek. Arsenio gave him the funniest look, like, did this dude just really kiss me on the cheek? And he walked off and, man.
Yeah.
What about Cedric Entertainer in the barbershop?
Oh, what are you talking about? I can't talk about Luke?
Yeah.
What you mean I can't talk about Luke?
But the scene where Checker Fred got mad at him for talking about Jesse Jackson.
Because
they was Chicago, and I know Jesse Jackson big in Chicago. How dare you, Eddie? Don't you take that back. Don't you dare talk about Jesse Jackson. So I can't say nothing about Jesse Jackson? Man, forget Jesse Jackson.
What about uterus? Who took my uterus?
Oh, man, it has been some crazy funny movies, man, I tell you. And we forgetting about Harlem Nights.
Oh, man.
Man, stop shooting that look.
Pow! Pow!
But stop. Gwen!
What about when the boxer walked in and he was trying to explain?
Oh, my God.
You's go be a... Rich. Come on, baby.
And Richard Pryor was like,
come on, baby. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
I think I was like, yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look it. I ain't never coming home.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Yeah, that sunshine was something else. Sunshine made that man leave. It was white.
But sunshine's something else, baby.
Yeah.
Golly, man. If y'all got any movie lines, please let us know. But it's time to wrap the show up. I'm
the pinky toe.
I'm the pappy. Who's the father of this chocolated baby?
We heard a funny line the other day. I was trying to say wouldn't, but ooh. I said would.
That guy. That, yeah. Oh. The guy who is apparently the leader of the free world.
Oh, my God. Hey, thanks for everybody for tuning in.
Double negative.
Thanks for Facebook Live. Thanks for everybody tuning in on iHeart, srtradio.com, and the Real 1100 app. We had a great time. It is on and popping. And just a note, just want to let y'all know that Sports Roundtable will be returning again coming up for a whole nother year. We just signed a new renewal contract. So good news, and we wouldn't be able to do it without you guys for keeping us and holding us down the way that you do each and every week. So we want to thank our loyal listeners for holding us down. So, hey, we go be him, baby. Whole nother season, and it's going to be all good. So that's my shout outs.
Yeah. Shout out to all the people that listen and support the SRT. We appreciate it. All you fan book, Facebook. Fan book, Facebook.
Same thing.
All our people, we appreciate it. Continue to love. We appreciate everything.
Shout out to all the tenants. We appreciate all the support and love. And keep tuning in on Facebook. And shout out to the entire crew, G Hancock, H.O., B. Yep. Will. And that's it.
Yeah, it is. All right, G.
Shout out to the SRT crew. Make Wednesdays a pleasure, even though I've been here all day. But anyway, also shout out to my mom and dad who listen every week. Shout out to all the tenants. And tell your friends, and they can be tenants too on our Facebook page.
There you go, man. And boy, I tell you, man, we so appreciate it. So with that renewal contract being signed and signed, sealed, and delivered, I am going home and put a stogie up in the air. And like we always say, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it because it's the hottest show going today. All right, Han, let's roll.
Boogie! Hit it home, baby.
Smooth.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
stop lying, Trump.
And we out. Peace.